Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the near future to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one of them will be taken to the next stage, where it is guaranteed to be featured in the fifth series of the Netflix show Black Mirror. I'm Joel, a man who puts the whist in twist, and across from me is John Harris, a man who predicted in 2003 that by the year 2017, self-driving cars will be so ubiquitous, which is why he's never driven on a motorway.
I assume they're all there. I haven't seen for myself, but I assume they're all about.
Yeah. Self-driving cars, they're the thing now.
Yeah, they're the thing.
You just get in, you press your destination, and you're off. John?
Yes.
It's January 2018. There's only one thing everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Black Mirror. People are mad for it. It's like landmark telly when it happens. It's a big event.
Yeah, it's pretty big. So Joel and I don't know if you've noticed, but we're British. So we were ahead of the curve on this one because it started on Channel 4 in the UK. But then it's I think before the third season came out on Netflix, they put it all on Netflix, and I think lots of people picked up on how brilliant it is.
Yeah.
And so it's like
Netflix was like, we want a piece of this sweet action.
They're like tech horror thrillers based in the mostly not too distant future. So they're like recognisable worlds with just slight technological changes for the main part.
Yeah, that's right.
And usually they have a wonderful twist at the end. Not always, but...
Yeah, a little twist.
Yeah. And they're always at least great. I think even the worst episode is probably like a recommendation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great telly. Right, so John and I have decided to pitch our own Black Mirror episodes.
Yeah.
Which I'm quite excited about. It's quite good fun coming up with Black Mirror episode ideas.
Yeah. So
I think I was better at coming up with the titles. Because the titles are always, I don't know, they kind of allude to what goes on, I think. But they're like one word, two words.
Well, maybe. Maybe I do the ideas and you do the titles. 50-50 royalties.
Nice. I'm into that. I'm absolutely into that. Give me the idea and then I'll just come up with a title that loosely somehow connects to it.
I'm sat there like pulling my hair out at a typewriter and Joel's just in another room just like putting two words together.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So the first episode is called Dissolved.
We're doing a whole series, aren't we?
Yeah. We're doing a whole series of Black Mirror.
Cool. So the first episode, Dissolved.
There's no... Physical currency doesn't exist anymore.
Cool.
Absolutely zero... Zero currency. No transactions are done through currency. It's all cryptocurrency, which is tracked by a chip in your hand.
Cool. Entirely plausible.
Exactly right. So everything is done. You know, you're contactless. It's all through your hand. Everything like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, inevitably, that's not all that's going on in your hand. You're being tracked by some sort of evil conglomerate organization.
GPS, heart rate.
And so, similar to, you know, the entire History of You episode where people start removing the chips. They start removing the chips and they start bartering with another currency that they make up.
Okay.
Pretty interesting stuff.
I'm on board.
Essentially, it's the reverse of where we are now in that currently cryptocurrency is seen as the like anonymous currency you can use to trade. But this flips it around because physical currency becomes the anonymous trading currency.
Is it an actual currency or do they start off really like really feudal? So they're like swapping fish for tomatoes and things.
No. Because I don't know how it'll work. Maybe it's just like little, I don't know. What would you assign any value to in like the near future? It's difficult, man. Lego bricks. They're Lego bricks.
They're Lego.
Yeah, Lego's the most... Lego's expensive, right? And
my
yes, it is Lego
my parents
bricks.
Are about to become the richest people in the
Lego
world.
It's Lego bricks because Lego, we run out of the oil that it uses to make the plastic.
Nice.
So it's actually quite a rare thing to find.
So it's only in museums boxes and attics.
Yeah, and people go out looking for, like they raid old Toys R Us's and stuff looking for Lego. And Lego becomes the underworld currency.
And like some of the protagonist, there's like a scene where the protagonist goes to her own parents' house and like friends her own parents to get that box of
yes
and turns out it's Duplo, which is of no
no it's Mega Bloks.
We've only got Connects and Mega Bloks. I'm sorry,
there you go.
Or in France they use Connects. Spain is Meccano pieces.
It's like an exchange rate. I think that's all right, isn't it? That's fun.
I like that idea.
It's fun. They use Lego.
I would, if I was pitching it to Charlie Brooker, I would go straight in with the...
Why not?
So currency is Lego.
I think it's a great idea.
Would you like my first idea?
Of course.
Right, this one's called Chuck.
Nice, okay.
And it's about an AI pop star. So anyway, so the point is, it's a guy called Chuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest pop star in the world. But he's AI insofar as, even though there's a human base to it, he is based on a real person. And when it goes to meet and greets, there is a person there.
Yeah.
It is what the listener and viewer wants him to
be.
So it's based on
the
their preference.
Yeah,
so like a metal guy would hear the same song, but it would be a metal song. He'd be quite metally and all this stuff. And like the, you know, like a younger pop fan would
hear pop. Yeah.
Even though they're watching the same TV show with this same track. And that's how he can be unanimous. This like, everywhere pop star.
Nice.
So, and what happens is, eventually, the technology becomes so good that they don't need Chuck anymore.
What?
So
what happens to Chuck?
Well, that's it. Chuck's just like...
He gets Chuck.
He's just put into retirement.
Oh, no.
And maybe... Could Chuck somehow get into a scandal? Like the AI version of Chuck. So he has to sign a disclaimer to be like, obviously he can't say that he's no longer Chuck. He's no longer this pop star. He has to go into hiding.
Is there like a retirement village for...
AI pop stars?
For AI, well, not even pop stars, but just general outdated AI.
Maybe.
So it's got all of the prototype robots and stuff in this retirement village.
Yeah, although this guy's a real person. He was just used as the basis for the thing.
Yeah.
And so he's put into hiding because obviously, because the technology's so good, they don't actually need a human as the base anymore. And then maybe there's some sort of scandal, and so everyone hates Chuck now. So everyone hates the real Chuck, who's just trying to live
just
his own
guy.
Life, right?
Yeah.
Chuck!
Yeah, Chuck! Chuck's a good name as well. Well done.
Thank you very much, mate. Right, when you watch Black Mirror, what's the stuff that creeps you out the most?
Oh, that's a good question. You've obviously got an answer for this.
Mm.
What is it that creeps you out the most?
Technology based around seeing what I can see. I don't like that.
Like when it takes your eyes over.
Yeah, so there's been the entire history of you, and there's two episodes. I've only watched two episodes this season. Both have premises around the idea that technology can see what you see, and that really creeps me out.
Yeah, that is unsettling.
You know, when I'm sat on the tube watching a man pick his nose for five plus minutes, I don't want other people knowing that that's what I do to get my kicks.
Very true, to get your picks. Yeah, that seeing through your own eye stuff is weird. It's an option on donor cards, isn't it, that you don't give your eyes up?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have that thought of other people using their eyes.
My mum always says that. She's happy to give any organ apart from the eyes. But, like,
it's a similar thing.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You're dead. Right. And if the alternate is, for some reason, if you donate your eyes, you can see what they see.
Well, that means...
Great! You just get another life via some eyes.
True. What if it's an awful life, though?
Aww.
Yeah. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. Get in touch,
I don't know how, but there's something there. There's something there.
Yeah.
I think anything like that involves tracking is what freaks me out.
Yeah.
Giving up. But I guess that's happening. Like, yeah, that's happening. But it's just not as in your face.
Yeah.
But very easily, everything that I use could kind of alert people to where I am straight away and that kind of thing.
So a while back, my Facebook wasn't loading properly for whatever reason. My internet wasn't sufficient. And what happened was the feed loaded.
Yeah.
But where the pictures should have been were descriptions
Whoa.
Of what should have been in the image.
That's so weird.
So it was like two faces.
What the hell?
And then one was
That's like terrifying.
A plate of food, blah, 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 all this stuff. And it was just description. Automatically, you know, just like...
Yeah, decide. That's terrifying.
And then I refreshed the page and it was all exactly what it had said.
Oh, man, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That makes it seem like a simulation, like none of your friends are real.
That's my next episode. Should we go on to Joel's episode? So we've done episode one and two.
Yeah.
So you've got the, you know, you've got the pop culture thing we've
nice.
Had. What was your first episode again?
It's about currency.
Oh, great.
Lego. It was about
hitting,
Lego.
Hitting all the major spots.
This also is around money, but not to the same end. It's called Shark Tank. That's a good Black Mirror episode name, isn't it?
Isn't that the American version of Dragon's Den?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, mine's about loan shark.
I thought you were going to say, so these guys are going on a TV show and they pitch a product.
Yeah, and for 100,000 pieces of Lego, I'll have 20% of your business. Shark Tank, loan sharks.
Yeah.
Literal robot sharks. No, they're not. You have to go to London Aquarium.
I wasn't sure about this season. Like, they were doing really well, but then there was the sharks.
The weird shark episode. No, so we are at a position now where wealth inequality is so huge that the poorest in society need, like, urgent loans just to cover any basic need. So, you know, if one of them cracks a tooth and they have to pay... There's all entirely private healthcare now.
Okay.
And the very poorest can't afford any level of insurance or anything like that at all. And so... In order to cover, so they, you know, they make ends meet to an extent, but any tiny upset in their lives, they have to seek out a loan shark, like a dark web payday loan, essentially.
Okay.
That is obviously astronomical percentage.
Just being serious, but all I can think about is sharks in suits flying around with baseball bats.
Yeah, like, well, the idea is robot debt collectors. So they come to your door and they force their way in and reclaim all of your stuff. And maybe they like... I don't know, maybe part of the small print is they reclaim your kids and then the kids get raised to do something, I don't really know.
Into the system.
Yeah. Robot debt collectors. Terrifying, right? Bailiffs. Robo-bailiffs.
Is there a creepier way you can do it? Like, so even though I know that there's this massive inequality, so they're not going to have many funds as it is, but is it a case of just like... The loan shark is some sort of virus on your phone that just like depletes... Your bank account.
Oh, nice. That's
like
good.
A little shark. Yeah, yeah. A little CGI shark pops up. Eats all
it's
your
an
money.
App. Yeah, it's like a payday loan app that, yeah, takes over your phone, takes over your life, appears everywhere.
Yeah.
Starts removing money and things like that.
So we're allowed a big robot shark. We've decided.
Yeah, there's a giant robot shark in the Thames.
And he's really rich.
Yeah, he's on
Monocle.
He's really rich.
Why do I think Monocle means... I don't know.
It's Monopoly. That's why.
You think...
Monopoly, because the guy's got a monocle.
Monopoly's quite a good name for an episode of Black Mirror.
It is, yeah.
And you could definitely have some sort of allegory about taking over the world like a monopoly.
So there you go, Shark Tank. I don't know what the ending is. It's probably like a shot that pulls out where you see all these kids that have been taken by debt collectors doing something.
And it zooms out of the building and it says Apple.
Oh! Take that.
Satire.
One in the eye.
Yeah. Right, on the subject of Monopoly... Have you listened to Ed Miliband, Jeff Lloyd's podcast?
And
heard what he used to play?
Yeah.
Class Struggle.
Class Struggle, yeah.
So good. Anyway.
Which is initially what Monopoly was designed to be.
But then some fat cats got involved.
Yeah, but people realised it was much more fun if you want to be rich.
Yeah. They're like, listen, but, right, imagine this game, but it was about how fun being
rich
is.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I become the world's worst man when I play Monopoly. Really bad.
I haven't got a really good title for this one, for my next one. Something like Selector.
Don't worry, mate. Give me the description. I'll come up with
all right.
Title episode.
Right. What's it? What do they call it? Working title, Selector.
Bo Selector.
Should Bo. The episode's
Avid Merrion plays every person
on
TV.
Right. So an app is created that's like those Twitter polls. Richard Osman creates an app where the public can decide things.
Nice.
So you're having a little tiff with your lover and you think one thing, they think the other thing. Let the public decide. It's fun. It's harmless. It's a fun way to kind of, you know, you might get a couple marital arguments out of it, but it's mostly frothy and fun, right?
Nice.
But this app takes over. Like, it is the biggest app in the world. Like, everyone's using it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from being about silly little things like that to then companies start using it to, like, you know, design the next, what do you think our next video game lead character should be like? What should happen here? Like, basically, like a make your own everything in the world, right? Yeah. Everything's decided by the whole public instantly. And obviously moves into politics.
Of course.
And this is where it keeps, and it just keeps getting more and more out of hand. And the big thing is at the end is that it's the whole world deciding upon whether mutually assured destruction should happen.
Wow.
And it's like one vote in it. And the whole world blows up.
Wow. I think Exit Polls would be the name for that episode.
Exit Polls. Is that the name of the app?
Oh, maybe. Polls.
And and at the end, when they do decide to nuke the whole planet, Richard Osman pushes the button.
He becomes the evil overlord.
Yeah. Maybe...
World Cup of Nuclear Arms.
He's done a book called The World Cup of Everything, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
So it's The World Cup of Everything. Everything.
Yeah. That's even really upsetting things.
Yeah. And maybe he's the protagonist, and it's a fun kind of like, slowly you watch him become more and more
mad,
maniacal and evil as time goes on.
I like it.
And by the end of it, he's really pushing for, because he just wants the power of having decided that the world should end. Exit Pulse.
How's Alexander Armstrong featuring this? Because he's got to somewhere.
I think the big moment, that's it, the big moment where you realise, oh shit, Osman's gone evil, is that someone sets up a poll on the thing, should Richard Osman kill Alexander Armstrong? And it gets 51% yes.
No,
so his choice is betray this app that he's lived by or kill his closest friend.
Nice. I like it. So the app makes all the decisions.
Yeah, for the world.
It's like direct democracy, really.
Yeah, and it's a kind of comment on how direct democracy... Because Charlie Brooker, I assume, thinks democracy is bad. So his moral is... The moral of the story is people are stupid.
People are stupid.
Don't let them decide
their own decisions, Oh, I can't think of any recent examples of that, though.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I wanted to do one with like fake news and clickbait, just called like clickbait or something like that, but I couldn't really figure out how that would work because we're already in the dystopian future where clickbait essentially rules.
I was thinking that and like, or something about news feeds that are like curated.
Timeline would be a good name for an episode.
Would. And so it's like news feeds that are created for you and only show what you want to see. But then I thought that's kind of what we're at. And it's a little bit Matrixy if you go to take it to the extreme where we live in a world that's nothing like what we think it is because of our news feed. That's quite Matrixy, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a bit Matrixy. So anyway, my episode's called
Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, it's the Rainforest Cafe.
Good.
In the future, all restaurants are themed. But there's only one chain. That's the worst future imaginable, right? But there's only one chain of restaurant and it's themed to whatever you'd like it to be. when you go in. This isn't really what the idea is. You've just really thrown me off with the Rainforest Cafe chat. So a company a lot like Amazon, but not necessarily Amazon, just bears all the hallmarks of Amazon and their current way of thinking, essentially becomes the sole provider of everything on Earth.
Okay.
Not that difficult to imagine.
No.
So it, like, from everything, entertainment, news, like general products that you buy, but it's also like the biggest employer on Earth.
Yeah.
And it's just basically engulfed absolutely everyone and rewritten the history of its own company, its own sort of legacy, because, and ultimately this company, this like umbrella company, is like the religion of the present day, right? Because it's all there is, and it's like the equivalent of Google and Tesco and everything all rolled into one.
Yeah.
And so everyone basically is subservient to this Amazon
rainforest,
yeah.
Rainforest taxis, rainforest,
exactly.
Rainforest,
yeah.
Social media, yeah. Rainforest cafe.
Yeah.
That's it. So it doesn't start off like an Amazon online bookshop. It starts off as a cafe that just gets too big for its boots.
That takes over everything. It takes over everything. The Rainforest Cafe really branches out until it achieves global domination.
Do you think it started off as a humble cafe?
And so they cover up their slave labor effectively.
Yeah.
In their workforce, because there is no other news outlet and they own sole distribution of everything, until someone finds a book.
Ooh.
Yeah, and no one has any books anymore because it's all on Kindle.
Yeah,
and everything on there is or the alternative to Kindle from Rainforest.
Logs.
It's all on their little iLog. And someone finds like some physical hard news about the corporation as a whole.
I like it. And then, the second half is them trying.
And there's like deforestation where they've been burning all the books and newspapers and stuff that they didn't own and didn't print. It's quite 1984.
Yeah.
That's basically what happens in 1984. Complete regulation of everything we see.
And does it end sad?
Yeah, ends sad, yeah.
So the person, our protagonist, finds this hard evidence and then just gets, like,
offered a promotion.
What?
To keep quiet, working for Rainforest. Can become maitre d' of the Rainforest Cafe.
Of the original Rainforest Cafe.
The original Cafe, Rainforest
which
Cafe.
Which is, like, hallowed ground at this point.
The original Rainforest Cafe is effectively, like, Mecca. In the modern day. It's actually quite difficult to write Black Mirror episodes, isn't it?
What are you talking about? We've done some amazing stuff.
It's actually really easy to write Black Mirror episodes, isn't it?
Joel, before we started coming up with these ideas, Joel was like, this is going to be so easy. Charlie Brooker is clearly a moron who's just, you know, lucked out.
And I'm right.
Right, so this is my final idea. And this was actually inspired by something that happened to me recently.
Okay.
So I was at a funeral.
Right.
And my dad said to me about a family friend who was at the house of the person whose funeral it was.
Okay.
And I was like, why? Why have you put someone, why is someone like house sitting the house? And he said, oh, because what happens is people read the newspaper, look at the funeral listings.
Yeah.
Know that no one's going to be inside their house because a funeral's taking place. Ransack the place.
No way.
It's like a common thing.
Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah.
I knew that people... I read an article about a woman who had been to like 300 funerals in a year for all the free food. She did the same thing, but in reverse.
That feels slightly more
slapstick.
Cheeky.
Yeah,
than
yeah,
it
yeah. It's a bit more
evil.
Fun. It's a bit more fun.
And so he said that's a common thing because it's in the newspaper, public. Make sure someone's there just looking after the place. And then I was thinking, well, nowadays we spend so much time like checking into places and doing all this stuff. So you can tell when people are out of your house easily because you just look on Facebook and it's like, oh, we're at a Rainforest Cafe. So I was thinking that, and then so then what would be, rather than stop people not saying they're out, because that's just not going to happen. People love to say that they're places.
Yeah.
We come up with Blue Fence, which is the name of the episode, and the security system.
Wow,
right?
I like that.
And what it does is it projects
the
impression that there are people in your house when you're out.
So like leaving the light on.
Leaving the light on, but way more impressive because it's like three-dimensional holograms, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the episode starts. It's a family. They're setting up their Blue Fence to do this stuff. But what slowly transpires is, so they're loving it at first. It's great, you know. I guess it starts off with a break-in.
Yeah.
And they're, like, talking to the police, like, well, how do they know? And they explain this stuff online. People just break in. So they set up this security system, and they're loving it at first. No one's broken in for ages. And the weird thing that happens is they'll be like, Susan from down the road will be like, oh, you should come in. We're going to have a dinner party. Mm-hmm. But and you should go, I should come over. And they're like, I can't be asked.
Yeah.
We don't like Susan.
Nice.
But Susan likes us and we'll keep up face. Mm-hmm. Send the holograms over.
What?
And so the holograms start doing stuff for them, appearing in places they don't want to be. But it starts to get suspicious when they start hearing friends being like, it was so nice to see you the other day, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And they're like, we didn't send the holograms there.
So the holograms start acting on their own.
Yeah.
What?
And so the end of the episode is, maybe it gets to the point where they don't know like what they have and haven't done anymore. It's like an anxiety thriller about whether they can't remember what they're doing or not doing, or whether it's just these replacements for them are just doing everything for them.
What about the holograms? So it's a family of four, right?
Yeah.
But the holograms are only of the parents because you can't make a hologram of yourself if you're under 18. And one evening, the original parents come home and they can't get back into their house. And they look inside and the hologram parents are with their kids. And they're stuck out there and they can't. That's it. They can't.
And the
get
first
back in.
Night they think, great, we'll go home. We'll go to a hotel, get some sleep.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
That's it. The hologram parents take over their lives.
And then they eventually get the police, kick the doors down, get in, and the kids are like, you've been so nice to us the last few days. It's so nice to
see.
It's so nice that you've been able to spend time with us and not like, you know, be busy with work and stuff. Yeah. We really appreciated that. That's the sad ending. That's the one that ends on a sad note.
It is sad, isn't it? I feel sad.
I think that's I mean, look, the thing is, everyone will be talking about the shark episode.
It's going to be the robot shark.
But everyone will be talking about it. But then I think once you, like, you know, peel back the big stunt episode that is the shark episode.
I think the robot shark has a cameo in every episode.
That's great. He's the logo for Rainforest, the company.
I was going to be more obvious than that and just have someone dressed up as him at the Rainforest Cafe.
That works.
Yeah.
You'd have a shark in the... Who cares? Yeah, how would the shark be involved in Blue Fence, the security system episode?
That's a very good question. I think maybe just on the telly, there's an advert for the robot shark.
That works.
Yeah. A party political broadcast.
And there's in the Chuck episode, there's a music video where he's riding on a robotic shark.
It's so easy. It's so easy. Ah, well, that's that then. That's the end of the Black Mirror episode. And the reason we know you need to leave is because there is a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And who is it? It's a robot shark. It's obviously a robot shark.
But behind that robot shark is Charlie Brooker with some contracts for us to sign because Series 5,
done it, mate. We've done it. Charlie Brooker's, like, he's already got a lei around his neck and a little grass skirt on because he's taking a year off because we've got it covered.
Joe, do you get the January blues?
Oh, big time.
Do you actually?
Yeah, I really do, yeah.
Oh.
It's quite a sad time of year, do you?
I've never got it before.
Blue?
Do you think?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think
I
have a generally blue disposition.
No, that's true.
More like a turquoise kind of vibe. A bit of green in there. I think this year I might.
Why?
I don't know. Just, I feel like a real January cliche this year.
Mm.
I feel like money's been more of a thing that I've actually had to really think about January.
Me too.
And
I'm skimp beyond belief. Health's a big one. Yeah. I already pay for a gym membership, so I might start going in January. Which would be good.
Right, you could either do the health, you could either tick off the health thing, or tick off the money thing and cancel your gym subscription.
Very true. Good options. They are both good options. One or the other, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You can either be healthy or
skint and shredded, or rich and bloated. We'll see how 2018 goes for me. We'll reassess this at the end of December, and I'll either be an absolute Adonis, or you'll be
Henry VIII.
Or Henry VIII, yeah. It's actually, what would you rather be?
I'm not sure.
It's difficult, isn't it? I'll do 6 months as each this year, and I'll let you know at the end of the year which was better.
Because, you know, like, the whole thing that, I'm sure everyone knows this, because it's like a fact that's bandied around all the time, is like, in Henry VIII's time, being fat was hunky, because it showed how much money you had.
So was having black teeth. You know that?
No.
Because sugar wasn't accessible if you were poor. Only for the rich. So poor people would blacken up their teeth to make them seem richer. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah.
Joel has the metabolism that means that he could never have been a hunky man in the 17th century or whenever it was.
Didn't stand a chance. Lucky to be born now.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Always say it.
If you could be born now,
yeah.
Not like today.
If. Yeah, yeah.
No, you're not born now, are
yeah,
you? You're born
no, I'm not.
7,000 however many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pick now? Would you pick the future? Would you pick the past?
It's got to be the future, isn't it? It's always got to be the future.
Well, what happened? Like, technically, what happens if the world ends in 2019 and you go, I want to be born in 2020? And they go, well, the world doesn't exist then.
Who goes? What's happening here? Okay, I'll say, okay. I'll pick another time then.
The people who decide.
Yeah, but what's the decision? Surely they'll offer you a date range. And if you see it doesn't go beyond 2019, you won't pick it.
You're probably not going to go with 2018
yeah,
either.
No, of course not. I would go 100 years ago. Because I'm not even going to get to 30 at this rate. It's rubbish. That doesn't work, mate. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because they're not going to say, okay, you're dead. Ah, you bastard. That's how they deal with overpopulation.
And the people who decide, if they did that, you'd be a baby for the entirety yeah. of this weird
yeah.
date experiment.
Yeah. It's a weird date experiment. Why didn't we submit this as an episode of Black Mirror? Because it's genius.
Right. So you wouldn't pick, like, I don't know, the swinging 60s or blah, you know.
Yeah, they'd be quite fun, wouldn't they?
The thing that what happens when these like generic questions happen is that people like think about swinging 60s, the Beatles, free love,
yeah.
you know, cool clothes, but they don't think about, you know, all the horrible stuff that was happening then. Like every era
mm-hmm.
has horrible stuff in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know what my point is.
No, I don't know.
Because there's horrible stuff now.
Yeah, there's horrible stuff now.
It's not like we've got over the yeah, horrible
but
shit.
But it's because we're living through it. One day people look back on this and go, Christ, they had to deal with that kind of nonsense.
They had...
Donald Trump.
Do you think that's what... Yeah, people who look back on our era and just be like...
Idiots.
They Twitter voted, and Donald Trump.
Can you believe they voted for these things? Yeah.
We didn't.
It'll be like a source. I think it's a source of embarrassment now, but I think in like 50 years it'll be viewed as absolutely hilarious.
Imagine those history lessons at school.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. Well, I mean, they've only got to 2019 to do them, so it's going to be very recent history.
I'm not sure they'll teach. That would be the only thing that would be good, is if Trump does end the world,
mm-hmm.
then people won't have to teach Trump in...
True, and we won't have the embarrassment of living through an age where we kind of allow these things to happen.
And kids are going, why did you let this happen?
It'd be like that famous World War II poster.
Yeah.
You know, where the kid's like, Daddy, where were you in the war? And the dad's looking at the camera like, I didn't fight. It'll be like, you know the one? Right. It's a really
Is
famous...
Is he pulling his collar?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when people say, what were you guys doing to combat Trump?
Yeah,
we'll say,
exactly.
We were making a podcast that was political propaganda.
There you go.
Daddy, what did you do in the Great War?
The dad's looking straight down the barrel of the camera like, oh, God. I knew this day would come. Yeah, so people will look at us and say, why weren't you out, you know, fucking protesting in the streets every day?
This is our protest.
Yeah.
If,
this is it. We'll point people towards this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Daddy, what were you doing during the great war of words with Donald Trump? Wow. Why don't you head on to whichever podcast app you use?
Search Dream Factory.
Search Dream Factory, yeah.
I mean, what you've got to know about me and Joel is, even when being faced with the fact that we're not part of the campaign against Trump, we'll still use it as an opportunity to plug our podcast.
I can't think of any kind of instance or event or forum where I wouldn't plug the podcast.
Gels on the docks in court. Well, actually, weirdly, I just come
what
out
am I
record-
there for? What am I there for? Yeah, where were you the night of... I was at home listening to the Dream Factory podcast. Available on all good podcast platforms and some bad ones.
You know, earlier I was saying that I'm worried about people being able to see and hear what I heard in the bus. It's mostly because I'm just listening to the Dream Factory podcast and really laughing.
really laughing. Mostly in my bits, but still laughing. It's all laughs, isn't it?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.